In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that I like most about children is that they are not afraid to tell you what they think. Some adults are like that too, right? They're not afraid to tell you what they want. Right? I've had four of them. I know something of it. Right? No pretense, no sort of beating around the bush. They just get right to the heart of the matter. Very forthright and honest. To an adult, that might come off as a little rude, right? A little presumptuous and demanding. But I don't think that that's quite right. They just tell you what they want. And they tell you what they want you to know. There's something virtuous about that, I think. In the Holy Gospel today, my brothers and sisters, we behold the Lord's compassion. He feeds thankless and unprepared people in the wilderness. Behold how love proceeds from the Savior of men. Right? He has the people to sit down, right? To sit on the grass, the posture of being waited upon, even. Behold how he condescends himself. For he, the King of creation, waits upon them as though they were kings and queens. Behold his generosity. Because they eat their fill, they eat all that they want. And though it's worth more than 200 days worth of pay, they get it for free. Now, the feast of the Passover, we're told in the sacred text, is upon these people. Most of these 5,000 men plus women and children who had tromped out into the desert seeking a miracle-working distraction, they're probably on their way to Jerusalem for pilgrimage, right? To go to celebrate the Passover in the holy city. Now, like it is right now in Israel, tensions were high, right? At the time all of this was going on, tensions were very, very high. Right? St. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Right? That was not going to settle the people down. Right? The Sanhedrin are actively plotting to murder the Lord, right? To kill him. Right? There are wars, there are rumors of wars and whispers of the holy prophet Elijah's return. And the talk about the end times was everywhere in the city, everywhere in the whole countryside, really. Our Lord, and you probably noticed this in the Gospels, our Lord is like a magnet for humanity. He just draws people to himself, as is fitting for their creator. But also what that means is that he's gaining a reputation for being a troublemaker. Right? People that have others gather to them like a magnet are not generally looked at as being a good thing for society. Right? He is, at least in their eyes and their minds, he is the obvious center of the storm, the impending storm that's coming. The eyes of these corrupt religious leaders of Israel. These 5,000 men plus women and children, keep in mind they were not his disciples. And it's not likely that many, if any of them, had been baptized by St. John. It's equally unlikely that many of them understood that Christ, or that Jesus, to be the Messiah, or what it was that the Messiah was even supposed to be and to do. Or the fact that they wandered so far out into the wilderness, right, beyond their provisions, right, beyond any means to feed themselves even, right, beyond the safety of the city, so far that they may very well die on their journey back home. This is not presented as being to their credit in the gospel. Now, I know something about sheep. You know that I raise them. I say a lot about sheep, but I won't. Sheep are stupid. Suffice it to say, they are stupid creatures, right? Sheep are feckless. Sheep are flighty, right? They are very, very different than goats. Goats can make it on their own, right? We know this well in my household. Right? Sheep are not very clever creatures, right? They actually need a shepherd, right? If they're going to survive, they need a shepherd to care for them. Goats, not so much. These people following Christ out to the other side of the Sea of Galilee were like sheep without a shepherd. Right? They didn't know really what they were looking for. They didn't know what it was they even needed. And behold the Lord's love for them. He feeds an ungrateful and unprepared people in the wilderness. And if they were unworthy of the miracle before it happened, right, if they did not deserve the bread and the fish that he gave, guess what? They're worse after it's over, aren't they? They declare him to be a prophet like unto Moses come into the world, right? The fulfillment of the Passover. And yet, at the same time they do that, what do they also do? They come and they try to take him by force. They come and try to take God himself by force. You see, because to them, he's like a vending machine. Right, a just non-stop vending machine. They can push a button and he just gives them stuff over and over and over again. And he's nothing more than that to them. You know, they figure, well, they like sitting in the grass, this oasis in the wilderness, and being fed all the food that they could ever possibly eat and having leftovers on top of it. Well, they kind of like it. And they like it so much that they would kidnap their own Messiah and shepherd. I told you sheep are stupid. But the Passover was at hand more than they knew. More than they knew. Its terror, its dread, its blood, its deliverance and promise and rescue, and its ultimate liberation from slavery and from death were all at hand in the one who gave them bread and fish to sustain them on their way. Passover, Pascha, we call it, is about to be fulfilled in the one who provides for those in the wilderness. Christ is the prophet who has come to defeat and to crush the serpent Pharaoh's head, who baptizes not in the Red Sea, but in the water and blood that flows from his riven side, whose death sets the people free. He is the Messiah come to a lost people to feed and to save them in the wilderness. As it was for those 5,000 plus women and children, beloved of the Lord, so it is for us. The Lord has compassion on his lost afflicted. Right? Don't forget, we too are in the wilderness. We tread and traverse the wilderness of this. I think we tend to forget that today. I think that we tend to forget all the time that we are in the midst of always traversing through the wilderness, coming to the new and holy Jerusalem. Has our faith also not been weak and faltering? Has our hope been found in things other than our shepherd? Has our hope not been found put in the things of this world? Our anger rages about, all the while our love is lacking. And as I talked about Wednesday, we've sought to seize our Lord by force again and again and to use him for our own agendas, right? We want our way. We want our guy in office, right? We want to discredit and to discard everybody that doesn't agree with what we do. We are the victims of our own sins and the sins of others. And we hurt those that we love and who love us because, again, we're selfish fools, selfish sheep. We have made enemies in this life. Have you been praying for them? Talked about this Wednesday. I hope you are praying for them. Right? Nothing but good will come out of your prayers for your enemy, I promise you. As hard as it may be to pray for your enemy, to pray for someone who has wronged you so much, nothing but good can come out of it. You see, Christ knows what we're up to. I think maybe we forget that oftentimes too. He knows what we're up to and what we're about. But nonetheless, he loves us, and he provides for even us, despite it. Despite us trying to take him for ourselves, apprehend him for our own agenda. Right? He loves us and gives to us of himself. He would have us simply to sit down before him and stop worrying. Stop all of our foolish commotion. Stop all of our striving and contending. He would have us just sit down and rest before him and hear him and receive from him again and again and again, more than we could ever want, more than we could ever need, and receive double mercy for every single thing, every punishment that we deserve, for each hardship that we've endured. And God knows the hardships that we've endured. Now, that concept of rest, do we even have an idea of that anymore? I mean, do we modern people have an idea of what a good idea, a good sense of what rest is today? I am not sure we do. Seems like rest is just always far from us today. Surely we feel this. We are always going, we're always working, we're always studying for school, right? Nonstop, we're always going, we're always doing. I'm not even sure we know how to rest anymore, to truly rest. Even when we're sitting down, we finally, right, like at the end of the day, we get to come home and sit down and, quote, rest. What do? Oh, we're on our little distraction boxes, right, that we shove right in front of our faces on social media, just scrolling through all the dumbest content that's out there in the world, every stupid reel. Right? Yes, I know. It is silly. Just scrolling away, right? Intellectually, mentally, spiritually. Restless. Restless. And we do, by the way, look rather silly doing it, too. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Right? If the large majority of people that have ever lived could see us, I am certain that, well they'd probably kill us first. I am certain they would think us to be fools. But I am also certain that they would think us to be a people obsessed and possessed as well. You know, we are commanded to be still. That's a command from the Lord Himself. Be still and know that I am God. That comes to the faithful as a command. And it's for our good and for our salvation. We live in a time and in a place and in a culture where that is very, very difficult to heed and to observe. Knowing Christ, just trusting in His great and abundant mercy, His more than enough mercy, the goodness and mercy of a shepherd who truly loves and truly cares for his sheep, and finally resting in Him who is our true rest. Let us then come to His sacrament of Holy Communion as the sick come to their physicians, as those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and are fainting in the desert on their way home, come to their fountain of life. Let us come just as those poor, sinful people in the wilderness with nothing to give, nothing to offer, but who nonetheless have been declared to be the desired and lovely and immaculate bride of the King of creation. Let us find our rest in He who preaches the law in mercy, to expose our sins that we finally see them, and be awakened from our sheepish stupor, roused from our slumber, and repent, recant, and return to the Lord our God who loves us. He makes us hungry in the wilderness of this world, so that we would seek satisfaction and provision from Him and Him alone, not from all of the things that promise security, but always fall short. Here at the altar, He bridges heaven and earth and comes to us. And who we are His beloved sheep. And that always blows my mind. Every time I think about who I am to Christ, who I am to our God. Because who am I that He should offer this to me? Who am I that He should offer Himself in the sacrament? Nothing but sheep to the shepherd. Beloved lambs to the one who loves us. Pilgrims on their way to the new Jerusalem that is to come down out of the heaven. And so we confess not only our unworthiness, which is abundant and obvious, we confess His goodness. His goodness. The love of Christ for you never grows less. God never loves you less than He did before, no matter what you do. Don't forget that. The wealth of his mercy is never, ever exhausted. Infinitely more than 12 baskets full of leftover bread. Rejoice, O Jerusalem. Rejoice, O you sons and daughters of God. Because God's turned his face toward you in love. As he feeds you today, which he's going to do in short order, let it be as great, let it be as new and as sweet to you as if it were the first time that Christ became incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. Or the very moment when he hanged on the cross and said about you, it is finished. You, his beloved and afflicted lamb, behold his provision. For today you eat with and you are fed by God in his holy house. And you are satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen.